2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back to another edition of the Geeks Vegas Lines podcast. I am Kevin, aka the Fantasy Football Geek. I am the founder of the DFS Army. And as we approach the upcoming NFL season, I've been doing a few podcasts, just kind of going over some different strategy items. And today what I'm going to talk about is an interesting topic that I think quite possibly is the single most important thing for daily fantasy sports players, which is bankroll management. It seems counterintuitive, but a lot of times what separates successful players, profitable players, from unprofitable players is as simple as bankroll management. The topic is certainly fraught with complexities and nuances, but I want to give a basic overview for everybody. Going back years and years and years ago to my first original FanDuel strategy columns back in 2012, up till today, you know, back in the day when we sort of pioneered the 80-20 rule, 80% cash, 20% GPP, up until today, as we've really advanced in sophistication and a lot of different sort of ideas and game theory, we've added a lot of different things to our strategy, but in the end of the day, profitability still comes down to proper bankroll management. So I'm going to start at the beginning. It's really easy as a player to get caught up in big prizes. We see these massive contests. The Millie Maker is a great example, where it's this massive contest with hundreds of thousands of entrants and $1 million prizes, and we all dream about it. It's like the lotto ticket. We're like, yeah, I want to win $1 million and screw this. So we, you know, save up our money. We put a bunch of lineups in there, and then at the end of the week, everybody's wondering, hey, how come I lost money, or I'm down, or I'm reloading my account every single week. DFS sucks. I'm sick of this, and I quit. Now, part of my goal as the commander of the DFS Army is to help my people be profitable. But it really starts with understanding what kind of player you want to be. So let's start there. If you're listening to this, I really want you to think about what kind of player do you want to be? Because I've met all different kinds of players, and that's fine. There are some people who tell me I'm GPP only. I just like getting in the big contests and, you know, going for big prizes. To which I say, okay, that's cool, as long as you acknowledge and understand what that means. Entering big tournaments is generally going to be a losing proposition. Now, you might be thinking, what the hell is he talking about? I love GPPs, that's all I play. The reality is this. The way top-heavy tournaments are structured, most people entering them are going to lose. And I hear a lot about, well, if I only had enough bankroll, I can enter enough lineups and I win it. It's just not the case. It's really hard to win a contest with 50 against 50 against 60 against 100,000 other lineups. It's very rare. The statistics are stacked way against you. And the way that those contests work, because they're so top heavy, many of which are paying out 10 or 15 or even 20% of the prize pool just to the first place finisher. Even if that's not the case and they're less top heavy, it's still usually 25% of the prize pool to the top 10 finishers. Those type of numbers, what they mean and what you need to understand statistically is, if you don't finish in the top 10 finishers, which is the top 0.1%, in general, you're not going to make money on those contests. So in essence, what we're doing by even entering those is hoping that at some point over the course of an entire season, we just get that one lineup that wins a top 10 or ideally a first place, but even a top 10 finish, just to make up for all of those other weeks or months of entering those contests where you don't get a top finish and you generally lose. And how can I prove it? If you look at these contests, I'm just going to bring one up right now on the screen. There's a PGA dog leg, or let's call it, I'm going to go to the best ball, PGA best ball right now. I'm just going to look at the payouts. So it's $250,000 in prizes, right? This is this week's contest, but it's just random. $8 entry, $150 multi-entry max. You have 36,000 entrants. First place, $25,000. Second place, $15,000. Third place, $10,000. So fourth place, five. Fifth, four, three, two, eight, nine, tenth. All right, so the total, let's see, first and second place alone, $40,000. And in third, that's $50,000. I'm just gonna stop there. 20% of the prize pool is going to the top four finishers. 20% of the prize pool. You add in the top 10 and it's like 30%. So understand what's going on here. If you believe that you're going to play daily fantasy sports, enter a contest which pays out the top 25%, 30% of finishers even, only, and you're going to do this profitably long term, let me explain why that's difficult, if not impossible. All right, so in a cash game, if I entered an $8 lineup, if I'm in the top 50%, I'm going to make back, let's say, you know, depending on a double up or whatever, is $7 or $8. In this contest, in order to make back $8, which would be 16 total, I have to be in the top 10% of finishers. Because even in the top 20%, I'm only getting 12. So I'm only getting $12 back on an $8 entry. It's just 50% revenue or $4 back. So not even close to what a double up would pay me. I need to be in the top 10% in this GPP just to double my entry fee. Now, the problem is, when you're entering these massive GPPs, you're not just putting one lineup in, you're putting a whole bunch of them in there. And generally, they're not all finishing in the money. The point is, GPPs are fun, massive ones are awesome, but they are generally, you know, they take a very long time to pay off, and you have to get lucky at some point and hit a win. So, we like doing these, but in some senses, they're kind of a sucker bet, especially if you can't max them out. So, how do we really deal with this and become profitable players at all the different entry level, salary level, bankroll levels across the spectrum? Now, I understand they're pro players, but and they're $1 million things, but I know how they play, and trust me, it's not what you think. So I'm going to start with cash games and why they're so freaking important. The cash game must be the basis for everything you do. Researching cash, making a cash lineup, one or two or three. If you're going to be a responsible player, that is where it starts. And understanding what the cash plays are and how to build off of that gives you an advantage in both cash and tournaments, and I'm going to explain why. Let's start with our cash lineup. Generally, if you're a DFS Army member, if you're a VIP member, and we're talking NBA, NFL, MLB, any really projectable sport that we do, for cash games, now there are certain sports that are different, so I'm not going to translate this to MMA or really golf, I would say. But in general, for cash games, the optimized lineup is very close to what we want to roll out. Now, we can make some swaps. We have to look at cash philosophy, so we got to look at the actual players. Like when we optimize based on our projections using the Domination Station optimization tool and using our DFS Army best in the world projection systems, that's going to win more often than not, just straight up. Because again, what we're trying to do is we're putting out our best, highest projected lineup. And now we're saying, can this beat at least half of the entrants in this contest? Now, again, we do want to make a swap here or there, and we want everybody to come up with the same thing. So we want to add a touch of customization, right? And a touch of customization could be just looking at like certain, depending on what it is, looking at the consistency of the players that are showing up in these lineups. Like in NFL, we know that we really want to, on DraftKings, we really want to use running backs as the baseline for our teams in cash games. So we want to generally use a running back in the flex. Now, if you find that the tool is putting in a tight end in your flex for the optimized lineup, because that's just how the optimized lineup works out, you have to make an adjustment there. Say, you know what? No, I happen to know. I listened to a podcast. Geek was talking, and he said, don't use tight ends in the flex spot in your cash lineups, which I'm saying now. Don't use tight ends in the flex spot on your cash spot. Use a running back. So in that case, you're going to make a swap there and, you know, rerun it, see what happens, you know, that kind of thing. You can customize it, but you really want to stick to an optimized lineup. We want to make sure that we're not getting too much exposure to a single team. We want to spread the risk around so that, like, you know, I don't necessarily want to have a quarterback and one of his wide receivers in my cash lineup. I'm not completely opposed to it, but it's not something that I'm purposely trying to do. we want to punt certain positions in cash games and spend up on other positions. We want to, in, again, in NFL, since this is my area, you know, I'll say generally in cash games, outside of the injury replacement running backs, we don't want to use running backs that are game flow specific. We want to use the more expensive guys that just produce. We want those bell cows, and we're willing to sacrifice other spots to pay for those bell cows. We can sacrifice the tight end. We can sacrifice the defense a little bit. We can sacrifice some of the wide receivers. So that is how we approach cash. But in general, forgetting this isn't about making lineups. This is more about bankroll management. So what I want you to do is imagine your bankroll for the entire season. It could be how much you have in your DraftKings account, but it could also kind of be how much you're willing to spend this year on DraftKings. Now again, let's say whatever your bankroll is, I don't like to talk about the numbers, but in NFL, I would say 20% of your bankroll on a weekly basis is fine to put at risk. Now, within that 20%, we want to go about 15% of it in cash or cash equivalent games, and the other 5% in other types of contests. Now, what are cash or cash equivalent games? This is important because it's not what you think. So the heart and soul of cash games is going to be 50-50s or double ups. But we don't want to go into multi-entry cash games, 50-50s or double ups. We want to stick to single entry 50-50 and double ups. And one of the cool things this year is on DraftKings, they've done some sort of shark elimination thing where sharks really can't get into contests that are less than $5. Unless they're massive GPPs. So we want to stick with contests that are under $5 and max the shit out of those. Take advantage of the fact that if you have a small bankroll, you can get all of your cash percentages in $1 and $2 and $3 50-50s and double ups. Take advantage of that. Use that. Don't say, I want to risk $10 this week, so I'm in a $10, you know, 50-50. No, you should be in 10 $1, 10 separate single entry $1 50-50s, all with the same lineup. Now, let's say out of that 20% of your bankroll a week, out of that 20%, 10% of it, or in essence, 50% of the 20%, or 10% of your bankroll that week, was invested in different low-cost double-ups, ideally avoiding the sharks if you can, keeping under $5 for the entry level. Then I said cash equivalents. What are cash equivalents? Those are similar kind of contest that you can use a cash lineup in. So that could be anything from triple up, three-man league, five-man leagues, 10-man leagues, 20%. I really like in cash, there's something like, there'll be like a five players, five-man league, three players cash. You got a pretty good chance of cash. Now, I think third place if you're losing a little bit, but you still get some money out of it. I like those kind of leagues. I definitely do those. I like the 10-person. And then we start to scale up. So your second 5% of the 20 will be cash equivalents. Again, three-man, five-man, 10-man leagues, triple ups, things of that sort. Then we get into the GPP part of it, and you can allocate the rest of your 5% to GPPs. And again, I'm going to talk a little bit more about a GPP focus in a second, but just know that about 5% of it is GPP, but the types of GPPs we enter is also very important. I want to go back to the example I said of the massive contest. The $8 or even the $3, you know, 20 entry. There's a contest this week with 900,000 lineups in it, but it doesn't even matter if it's 900,000 lineups, 100,000, 50,000, 20,000. Basically, those type of contests where you need to nail an incredibly long odds lineup in order to win it. Now, we know from experience that the approach to winning that kind of contest requires contrarianism. But some of us, some players are just uncomfortable with being heavily contrarian. I would say that affects me a little bit as well. It's difficult to go in if all you're doing is entering a certain GPP, your first thought is, oh, I want to cash out. I want to, I don't want to lose all my money this week. So if all you're doing is GPPs, your first thought is, hey, you're going to want to stick to chalky, like best spot situations because you want to get your money out of there. The cash allows us to not worry about the GPP, and that's really what I want to emphasize. If I have 75% of my funds allocated to basically cash games, then I can just have fun with my GPP entries, and that's the main difference. I know if I win those, 75%. And again, I even, you know, I'll at the very least double that portion of my money. Now, because we do the cash equivalents with the little leagues and everything, you can do even better than doubling your money in cash, in essence, with your cash lineup. We're going to enter it in small GPPs. So getting to the GPP portion, because this is, you know, everybody loves this part. I just want to state this. Again, if you want to maintain your bankroll, don't be a sucker. Suckers chase the millionaire maker. The odds of winning it are super long. Again, if I'm allocating $20,000 a month or $20,000 a week into all these different things, and then I put, you know, $500-$600 into the Million Maker, that's not the same as an average player slapping down four $20 tickets to a Million Maker who, you know, $100 is a big chunk of the bankroll. You're going to have to redeposit after that week. So that's for suckers. Let the suckers do it. I know we love the big numbers, but again, this comes back to what type of player are you? If you have made it, if you're listening to this, you're probably a player that wants to be profitable. I have friends, I will tell you, and I've told this story before. I have friends who say, fuck it, I don't give a shit. I don't care. I'm going to go for the Million Maker and I don't give a shit. That's who I am. And I tell them, dude, you're going to lose all your money. You're going to have to put money in next week. Like, this is not a profitable way to play DFS. You will never be successful over a long term. I mean, yeah, you could hit the million, so you might. But I mean, chances are one in hundreds of thousands that that happens. And the much, much more likely scenario is that you are going to lose your money and have to put in more money next week. And we had a friend said, I don't give a shit. That's how I am. I don't mind putting in a couple $100 a week. This is my entertainment. That's what I want to do. Okay, but I think most of you that are listening to this don't feel that way. You probably feel like, I would like to be a profitable player. And I think that being a profitable player naturally extends and builds itself into eventually winning some tournaments and building a massive bankroll. Now, we've seen different scenarios across the board where people say, why aren't I winning? Or this is horrible. I quit. I'm sick of this. But then I asked them, well, how have you been playing? What was your approach? And well, I play GPPs every week, and I listen to all the podcasts, and I make a lineup, and then, you know, it doesn't cash or cash, but then I lost for 3 weeks in a row, and I lost all my money. I'm sick of this shit. I say, well, yeah, of course you're going to lose. When you should go in to your GPP lineups expecting to lose money. I generally, when I enter a GPP, I'm like, there's a 15% vig. You got to take some risks. You can't be right. You have to go against the crowd. You're going to lose it. A lot of time. The crowd is right a lot of time. And when you're right and the crowd's right, it doesn't even benefit you that much because, like I said, you know, you could take the chalk player and you can have 70% exposure. The field has 60% exposure. He does great. Big shit. Now you're just like in a field with 70% of other people and you still haven't really distinguished yourself at all. So that's not going to get you anywhere in those contests. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with the rest of the show.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
I want to talk about how cash and the comfort of cash allows you to change your mentality when entering GPPs. Once I have that baseline of safety and comfort, knowing, okay, my cash line is in, I'm confident in my cash picks, I'm confident that I will win my cash games 65% of the time. So even if I lose this week, I'm confident that over time I tend to win them at a 65% rate. Once you have that level of comfort, then you could say, all right, let me think about my GPP entries differently. And I'm going to start with your, what I call a hybrid lineup, but basically the GPP entry that's most likely to do well. Rather than attacking
the $3, $5 contest with hundreds of lineups or whatever, a lot of lineups in a $1 one, where you have very, very little chance of certainly winning the contest, but even coming out profitable. The smart money plays in smaller contests. Pay a little bit more money. So rather than do, and again, I'm going to speak in very broad terms because it's difficult for me to scale this down and make it make a lot of sense. So I'm just going to do this in a broader term. Rather than do 20 entries in the $4 contest for $80 and see what happens, I'd rather you do, you have a much better chance of being successful doing one lineup in a $50 contest. That's a GPP with 150 entrants or 250 entrants. You want to know why? You have a chance to win that contest. Come in first place and get the big prize. The chances of winning even a $1, you know, 20,000 entrant contest are minuscule. It's probably not going to ever happen. Now, again, I say it's probably not going to ever happen. We've had members of the DFS Army take down first place prizes, and it's amazing. $50,000, $100,000, $300,000. It's all good. So that's why we continue to enter those on occasion, but we have to have a certain mindset for that. And again, all of these steps open up that mindset and allow us to get in to approach those contests in the correct way. I'm just gonna look at a little. I'm looking on the DraftKings leaderboard lobby right now for a contest for a little example. I mean, here's one. I mean, I don't know if it's the greatest example, but here's a 17-person $50 entry contest, 750 bunker. First place, $300. Now, we might say, whoa, $300, that's shit. Everyone has $3 million. $300 ain't shit. That's great. So it's very winnable. You have a reasonably good chance of coming in first place out of 17 other lineups. And hey, by the way, if you didn't take first, second is 200. Third is $150. So that's a little smaller of an example than I would like. Let me see if I can't find another example here, just on the leaderboard. All right, here we go. Now, not everybody here plays $150, certainly not one single lineup for $150. But here's a contest tonight, $150 entry, 185 entrants. First place, $5,000. Now, you have a reasonably okay shot of, you know, second place, $3,000, third place, $2,000. Putting up a good lineup, we have a shot at being first out of 185 people. Certainly a decent shot even with a cash lineup of coming in the top 20-25% of 185 people and, you know, making a nice profit in a contest. But it's just about what contest do I really have a chance to win? We really want first place wins in any GPP that we're in. The other day I played in a I've been using our cash lineup. Here's another little one. $27, 32 entrants. $750 contest seems small and whatever, but you know, first place $225. So 27 in, 225 out. All you need is a pretty good lineup that day, and you're gonna win first place. Top six get a score. So the top 20% here all cash. Can I be in the top 20% against 30 people? Can I come in first out of 30? Sure, it's winnable. Here's a $33, 1400 person. Harder to win, but for, you know, $33, $5,000 first place prize. These are winnable contests, and we don't have to go crazy off chalk in order to find the winning lineup, and that's the difference. We have to understand the type of player that we are and the type of contest that we're entering, and I'm telling you, most people are not making this distinction. They're not doing it the right way. In the big contest with 36,000, 40, 50, 100, somebody is going to nail the perfect lineup. And they're going to go crazy. They're going to take players you never dreamed of playing. You won't think of it. They're using algorithms, but they're also purposefully going to plays that they think are going to be low-owned. And there's just so many people in there that it's hard to beat them all. I would say, no matter who it is, every player is represented in these big contests. And, you know, it's kind of like when you're ahead in a big contest at the end of the going into the 8 o'clock games, and you got one player left, and you're in first place, but it's like you think you're winning a GPP, but no, because every score on the night game, people are moving up on you because they have those players and they're heavily owned. I don't care who they are, they're all heavily owned. So what I'm getting to is your chance of winning a massive GPP is minuscule. And if you base your entire DFS play on entering big GPPs and hoping for the win, You're going to churn your money down slowly. You're going to generally lose 15% every single day. You're going to be down on yourself. You're going to start to think, shit, I suck at this. Now, you might get lucky. You might be one out of whatever and get lucky and win a contest. Great. Then you'll pad up your bankroll and go right back into losing ways because your habits are wrong. So what I'm trying to explain here is habits and the habits that we have to form habits in everything that we do. And in DFS, we have to have the habits also. And what I want from our members, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're a DFSArmy.com VIP subscriber, if you're just a person listening, you're not even, but you're a reader, you're a listener. What I want you to go into DFS is I want to play smarter and more disciplined than my opposition. And that has to be your goal every single day. If you play smarter, if you play more disciplined. Now, what is the undisciplined person doing? They're throwing 10 lineups into a $3 gun, hoping for that win, hoping and praying. Coming out of there, they cash, they're down 30%, down 40%, maybe they're up 20%, but the next day they're back to being down because you can't win at those consistently. Yes, you can hit a big win eventually, but you can't do it consistently. And the approaches are different. All right, so now I'm going to talk a little bit about approach. We've gotten into cash. Again, 50% straight double ups. Next 25% cash equivalents, triple ups, small leagues, things like that. Now we're on our last 25%. So out of that, we're going to allocate 60 to 70% for larger, low entrant, higher dollar GPPs. Winnable ones. $12 entry, 100 person. $5 entry, 75%. We want to try to get a first place finish. Our cash lines are usable in those contests. We don't have to go crazy. We don't have to sit there and worry about, you know, who owns what. Because 100, 200 people, it just doesn't matter that much. You don't have to find such a gem. And that's really the key to everything that I'm talking about. Now, with that last 25% of our GPP allocation, we're going to go into the big contest. Because, hey, that's what the chicks dig, the big prizes, right? But because we've used so much chalk along the way in our cash lineup and in our, you know, small GPP entry, we've really hammered the chalk in that one. We now know who not to use in the final small GPP entries. We're not going to use any of those guys. We're going to stay off the chalk completely. We're going to allow ourselves to be contrarian, to do the game theory type of thinking, to forego Julio Jones at the Saints with the worst pass defense in the league, to take A.J. Green instead, to not use David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell this week, but rather to take a shot with some game flow dependent running backs and pay up at a different spot. Whatever it is, what I'm trying to sort of emphasize is use the comfort of all of the chalk you used in your cash line, in your cash equivalence lines, same line, in your high dollar, slower entrant GPP, where we, in essence, are not really differing too much from our cash lineups. If anything, maybe using the same line. Because, again, we don't have to beat 20, 30, 40,000 people. We just have to beat 30 people, or 75 people, or 125 people. Totally, totally different animal. And again, in the big 36, 46, 100,000 entrants, let your freak flag fly, basically. This is one of the reasons why I never say, oh, that's a bad choice. How's my GPP lineup? Oh, it looks good to me. Every GPP lineup looks good to me. I mean, in a sense. There are some that don't. Like, when I look at other websites, like other sites giving advice, some of their shit just makes no sense. Like, they're using two wide receivers from one team and a quarterback from another. That's just an idiot who doesn't know how to play. And that's stuff that we don't do in the DFS Army. Proper lineup construction methodology is at the forefront of everything we're ever going to talk about, everything you'll hear me talk about on my pods. So if you're listening to this, and you listen to my pods, and you're a member of the DFS Army, or you're a reader of our site, you don't do this. But construct for those final GPPs, that's where we forego Aaron Rodgers this week, and we use Marcus Mariota to Eric Decker in our stack. Or we use some crazy, you know, Trevor Siemian type, you know, Demaryius Thomas type stacks. Basically, we go completely off kilter. Whatever. It's the GPP. Let's stay away from our chalk. So it allows you to really think strategically about game theory and differentiation in your final sort of massive sized GPP is trying to win one of those, which is why I say this cash focus will actually help your GPP game. Because in the end of the day, what are we trying to do with a GPP? We want to win it. We want to take down first place. Cashing in them, that's just getting your money back half the time. And most of the time, it's not. Like I said, most of the cash lines, they don't double your entry. And I have max entered these, and unless I get a top finish, I tend to lose money in the contest. It's just how it goes. The more entries you throw at a contest, now you might throw one entry at a contest and finish in the cash line and think you're doing great. You know, you entered $8, you got back 12. You're not. You didn't win it. And that was just one. And tomorrow you're going to enter that same contest and not cash. And now, you know, you're down. You've won. You've placed in the money 50% of the time, but yet you're down $4. Again, picture this. Again, I'm just using the best ball or any of the $8, you know, 40,000 entered contests. Today, I entered an $8 lineup. Finished just in the money, top 15%. It's good for $12. So my $8 showed a $4 profit. Tomorrow, I enter the same contest. I don't cash. Down $8. Or for the 2 days, I'm down $4. So I've been cashing in 50% of my $8 entries, and yet for every two of them, I'm down $4. So I put in 16. I'm down to 12 after 2 days. How much is that? Down about 20%. And this is what I'm talking about. Next day I win again. Okay. Made my $4 back. Now I'm even. Next day I lose. Now I'm down $8 total. I got a 50% win rate. Didn't come in first, and that's the whole problem. Now, of course, that changes if I take down first place in $5,000 or 20. Sure, that's why we enter them, but understand that the natural flow of playing in these contests means even a 50% cash rate, you're going to lose money. So you're not going to be successful long-term at daily fantasy sports just doing that. We need to treat those as our throwaways. We need to pay for those with our cash games. I know I've talked about it for years, but I'm really trying to drive the point home. It does not help me to have my readers, our listeners, our members playing without discipline. I want to be the most disciplined group of DFS team that there is. And again, it starts and stops with bankroll management discipline. So 20% a week during NFL of your bankroll, 10% of it, straight up double ups. The lower dollar amount, the better. 5% of that, cash equivalents, triple ups, small leagues, 5-man, 10-man, 20-man. Next 3%, small GPPs, higher dollar, lower total number of entrants, hybrid style lineups. We don't have to go crazy with worrying too much about ownership. I think you put your best foot forward. If you didn't use your cash lineup in that, a version of it, maybe with a QB wide receiver stack in there, but not to go too far off kilter and not supremely worried about game theory or ownership. And then that last 2% allocate into the big, massive contests and just go contrarian game theory, be creative with it, craft a storyline around it, whatever you need to do, whatever makes you feel comfortable in the GPP. But, you know, knowing that you have so much cash and chalk covered in all of that other stuff that you can really, again, we can fade the chalk for that last 2%. That will, in essence, force you to do a little bit of game theory thinking and hopefully be more profitable as a player. So that's about it. I hope this helps. I wanted to sort of get into a little bit of strategy, not slate-specific stuff ahead of the season and get everybody excited for NFL coming up. I just want to talk real quickly about what we have going on for NFL this season over at the DFS Army. Guys, it is unlike anything you've ever seen before. It starts with our best in the business projection system. No one beats us. It's amazing that the word's not out. Our projections have been crushing it in MLB, in NBA, and now for NFL. They will continue to do it. I fully expect it. We connect those up to the Domination Station Optimizer. And those of you who are VIP members already see the power of the Domination Station for other sports. But we've gone crazy for NFL season with this thing. Every kind of stack that you can imagine, you can program in there. We have limitations for how many players per team. All the lineups at the touch of a button. Properly configured lineups for GPPs stack. We have QB wide receiver stacks. We can stack with the opposite. We have game stacks. Everything's in there. It's awesome. On top of that, Geeks Picks, my personal column where I just go through the player picks that I'm going to be using that week in both cash and GPPs with notes explaining why I'm using each player and how and what stacks I'm going to use. On top of that, we have VIP columns coming out from the whole crew of writers. Everybody's getting involved this year. So we really have a lot of incredible things going on. And of course, our Slack forums where you can talk to me, ask me questions, ask, you know, Mitch and Keith and Chop and Al and all of our writers and Dave, and basically everybody on the team is there helping out. So we have weather coverage. We've got kicker specialty columns from Aaron. Everything you could think of under one place. Great social interaction. I can't wait for the season. I can't wait to sort of start talking to everybody and getting into this year. So I look forward to that. I will see everybody in Slack. Check out my weekly podcast, Geeks Vegas Lines Podcast, where I break down the games for DFS Army VIPs. I want you all to check out my Geeks Picks every single week, where I give you my player picks. And I will see everybody in Slack. Good luck.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.